Here's 78 on 78, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
I would like to tell you how my man translates quality in pipe tobacco.
Scandinavic.
When he wants a pipe tobacco with a taste he can take pride in, he says...
Scandinavic.
You see, in Denmark, there is only one word for an extraordinarily mild yet flavorful pipe tobacco with an aroma I can find pleasing.
Scandinavic.
For an unusual pleasure the usual crowd hasn't discovered, say Scandinavic, the premium pipe tobacco imported from Denmark.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Philosophy, said the philosopher, is most useful when we look backward on the evils of the past or forward to the evils of the future. Unfortunately, philosophy is of scant comfort when we must confront the evils of the present, which happens to be when we need it the most. Well, there are substitutes for philosophy, as we shall find out.
You can't kill a cop.
Why? Is a cop sacred?
You don't know what a storm it'll blow up.
All storms blow themselves out.
I don't like it.
Look, Joe, you know what it says? This too shall pass.
You're the devil. Even down to the quoting of Proverbs, you have to be the devil.
Come on, Joe. I'm just a guy who tries to get along the best way he can.
Our mystery drama, Uncle Louie, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Now, if you order a new midsize two-door or four-door Buick Century Custom with an available 3.8-liter V6 engine, chrome-plated wheels, 5545 seats, AM-FM radio, sport mirrors, electric digital clock, and an exterior molding package, we'll add power steering and power brakes at no extra charge. It's the deal of the century. Buick Century models are equipped with GM-built engines supplied by various divisions. See your Buick dealer for details.
I'm chewing gum again. It's wonderful. For years I couldn't because gum stuck to my dental work. But now there's Freedent gum. It doesn't stick. So I can enjoy all the pleasures of chewing gum again. The delicious flavor, fresh clean breath, and refreshing taste. All that's possible again with Freedent gum from Wrigley's. Comes in peppermint and spearmint. You'll love it.
Feel free to chew Freedent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Freedent gum.
If you're going to Europe for the first time, your excitement may be tinged with a little apprehension. You'll be staying in hotels you've never seen, traveling with people you've never met, relying rather heavily on the airline tour that takes you there. So you ought to know that people who fly Scandinavian airlines have been to Europe many times before. They're quite particular about what they want in a vacation and what they just won't settle for. All to your benefit if it's your first time. Because SAS vacations have been designed to meet the demands of the hardest-to-please people in the world, seasoned travelers. Ask your travel agent about SAS vacations. You'll have the excitement of your first trip to Europe and the confidence of your 101st. Scandinavian Airlines, choice of the seasoned traveler.
SAS has over 100 different vacations to choose from. A travel agent can help you select the right one. SAS, choice of the seasoned traveler.
A wise son maketh a glad father, or so the proverb tells us. However, there are always exceptions to cases and differences of opinion, which is why some of us are inspired to bet on horses, while others are moved to construct romances. Our story begins with a man named Ezra Arnold Miller, Both his name and his initials, EAM, appear constantly in the newspaper. He is perhaps one of the best-known reporters in the city. He has just been sentenced to death. Oh, no, he has not been found guilty by a jury of his peers, nor has the verdict been handed down by a legally appointed judge. But a trial has taken place. All the evidence, for and against, has been weighed in the mind of one man, and one man alone has made the fatal decision. The telephone now rings in Ezra Arnold Miller's office, and he is about to talk with his executioner. But, of course, Ezra Arnold Miller doesn't know that.
Miller.
You're the reporter.
Who's this?
Someone who can tell you all about Harry George.
Why would you want to do that?
What's it worth to you?
Your information is valid. You could get more for keeping it than selling it.
Yeah. But there's other things in this world besides money.
Name a few.
Why don't we meet someplace, huh?
You could come up here.
All I have to do is be seen walking into a newspaper office.
Well, and...
Southside Park?
Yeah.
You know where the merry-go-round is?
Yeah.
Right in back of it is a path with benches. I'll be sitting on the first one. 4 o'clock this afternoon.
4 o'clock, huh?
Be there.
Hello. Hello. 4 o'clock.
Harry?
Well, Joseph.
I have to talk to you.
Isn't it dangerous for us to be meeting like this?
I just found out about Ezra Miller.
Oh? Who told you?
That's not important.
It is to me.
Harry, you can't kill a newspaper reporter.
Why not?
Do you appreciate the kind of hue and cry that'll create?
Yes, I think so.
The people won't stand for it.
Joseph, you of all people should know that the people will stand for just about anything.
You can't outrage public opinion.
Sure you can, if you don't do it too often.
Harry, I am a politician.
So am I.
But I'm in politics, openly. I'm an elected official. I'm in the city hall every day.
Miller is out to get me, and he's very close. No other muckraker has ever gotten as far.
But still...
The man has to go for two reasons. First, he's a fool. I arranged to have an offer presented to him. What did he want? Money, connections, a book published, a TV show. We even offered to throw him a few fall guys so it would look as if he'd smashed the syndicate. But your Mr. Miller is stupid.
He's not my Mr. Miller.
You know...
I'm only trying...
Actually, he's too stupid to live.
You're Miller?
Yeah.
Sit down.
What's your name?
Baldy.
Baldy?
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Well, how shall we begin?
We already began. Now it's time for the end.
The end?
You've just been shot, Mr. Miller.
I...
See? Invest in a good silencer, and it don't hardly make no sound at all. Listen. That's right here. You just lean back like that. Oh, it's all right, little girl. This here gentleman's just tired, see? He's having a little nap, that's all. Here's 50 cents. Why don't you go and have a ride on the merry-go-round? You can take it. That's it.
Oh, Father Burke? Oh, by all means, send him in. Once again, the good father. Oh, well, come in, Father. Sit down. May I offer you something?
You could offer me your confession.
Oh, Father. I realize I've been lax in my religious duties these many years.
What I had in mind, Harry, was a signed confession to the murder of Ezra Miller.
But I didn't do it.
We split hairs. You had it done.
Father Burke, how can you say that?
Because I have here your check for $25,000.
Father, it's for the building fund of the church.
It's a game we play, Harry. After every one of your outrages, you make a very generous donation.
Father, be fair. That's hardly proof.
It's proof enough for me. And here I am again, Harry. to return your check.
Is it right to deprive me of the privilege of helping to build a new church?
The money has blood on it.
Father, you do me an injustice.
Ezra Miller belonged to my parish.
Fine reporter.
You won't get away with it, Harry.
Father, I find you refreshing.
But not convincing.
As a young priest, everyone was so charmed by your brilliance. Everyone predicted you would go far. I didn't think so.
You didn't.
I was right. You never got beyond the parish.
You're right.
Even back then, I said, here is a man who's too abrasive.
Ah.
You see, Father, in life there must be a give and take. Live and let live. An acceptance of the game and the rules it's played by.
And since Ezra Miller approved of neither the game nor the rules, he paid the penalty.
Yes.
This is the first time you ever made such an admission.
There's very little you can do with it legally, Father.
Why did you make it to begin with?
I hope to convert you.
Convert me to what?
Reason.
Continue.
Father, I am in business, and what do I sell?
Vice.
That's my product, vice. Gambling, girls, narcotics. You follow this?
Yes, but where does it lead?
To a sad but sobering truth.
Which is?
The public is ambivalent about vice.
Really?
On the Sabbath day, they come to you so that you may assail it. During the rest of the week, they come to me so that I may sell it. The public wants its forbidden pleasures, and it will have them, Father.
Therefore,
we cannot permit the situation to get out of hand. We cannot have anarchy.
Indeed.
The thing must be controlled. It has to be run in an orderly, business-like fashion. Since the people insist on having their vice, then vice should be made as safe as possible.
Fascinating.
So you see, I perform a most useful public service. I'm not the one who's a danger to society.
No.
It's the Ezra Millers of this world who threaten our orderly existence. The Millers who cannot accept life as it is. Who have no understanding of basic human nature. Perhaps one day you'll see the light, Father.
How can I reach you, Harry George? Is there anything I could ever say to you that would strike even a spark of humanity? I wonder.
As your mayor, I am shocked and saddened by this brutal murder. By the audacity of the hoodlum scum who feel free to commit their depredations with impunity.
Just a minute.
I assure you, this dastardly act shall not go unpunished.
Yeah.
Furthermore,
you tell me, Your Honor.
As long as I...
Hello, Terrence.
Father Burke, come in.
Have I interrupted anything?
Just a speech by His Honor, the mayor.
The one about the thugs who feel free to commit their depredations with impunity?
Yeah, something like that. Sit down here in your favorite chair. Can I get you something?
Not now, thanks, Terry. I am reminded your birthday is next week, isn't it? Let's see, it'll be 29 years since I found you on the...
Yeah, I suppose it will be.
29. You're getting up there, Terry. You should be thinking of a wife, children.
No, I can't be thinking about that.
And why not?
You know why not.
It's an old argument between us.
And I'm sure you haven't come here just for another replay. What's on your mind, Father?
How's the Miller murder investigation going?
Well, it isn't.
You fellas have anything at all?
Zero. We're still at ground zero. We have no leads at all.
Well, my fine young detective lieutenant, what is your personal opinion?
For what it's worth? Harry George strikes again.
But you can't prove it.
Oh, you can never prove anything against Harry George.
Terry, something has to be done.
Well, what can we do? I mean, the man is completely protected.
Ezra Miller was killed because he was about to uncover that protection. He was killed in broad daylight in the midst of dozens of people. And nobody saw anything. Nobody knows anything. Nobody has come forward.
And that's our problem, Father.
No, our problem goes deeper. You see, when crime was being committed mainly by obvious criminals, by crude, vulgar, unwashed hoodlums, it was possible for the public to become outraged. But now...
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Harry George is a man of culture. We were friends. We grew up in the same parish. I went into the seminary. He entered law school. I don't know what changed him.
Maybe nothing. Maybe this is just what was underneath all the time.
It isn't that Harry breaks the law. It's that he makes law-breaking respectable. Terry, what can be done?
The way it stands now? Nothing.
Not Terry.
Father, he used a hitman. Even if we could find the guy, that wouldn't mean we could prove Harry hired him.
Have you given up looking?
No, but we won't get Harry George. You know the terrible thing? If and when he's ever brought down, it won't be for murder. It won't be for all the suffering and misery he's brought to some people.
Yes, I know. It'll be for something like income tax evasion.
Or conspiracy.
Or something that's equally impersonal and bloodless.
Yes, so we'll take what we can get.
But, Terry, if he goes to jail because he was caught, well, let us say caught because he was keeping a double set of books, then people will say it was bad luck or that he was careless. No one will have to confront the enormity of his crimes. Terry, do something for me.
Anything, Father, you know that.
And it's not just for me, it's for all of us.
Sure.
Change your attitude.
What do you mean?
I know you're doing a good job, but...
But what?
In your heart, you don't really believe you can crack the case, do you?
Well, Father, the practicalities...
Now, please. Please, Terry, believe you can do it. Believe it in your heart. And maybe it'll happen, Terry.
Faith. We are told it can move, or more accurately, remove mountains. However, how effective is faith when it comes to solving crimes? Actually, it might be better to have a liberal supply of convincing clues or some incontrovertible evidence. But lacking these, faith, if properly pursued, is next best. I shall return with Act Two shortly.
When you carry Master George, you carry clout.
When I go shopping, there's no doubt, my Master Charge card carries clout.
When you carry Master George, you carry clout.
When my cash is running out, I use the card that carries clout. MasterCharge, the number one card in the world.
When you carry MasterCharge, you carry clout.
Clout is MasterCharge, the number one card used by more people in more places to buy more things than any other card in the world. For shopping, for dining, for everything.
When my family's eating out, we use the card that carries clout.
When you carry MasterCharge, you carry clout.
Don't miss out. Carry clout.
The spectacular new 1,000-room Hyatt Regency Dallas opens in May. Here's General Manager Fred Alexander.
Well, our hotel is part of the whole Reunion complex. Any Dallasite or any visitor can go to the Union Station, which is just adjacent to the tower and hotel, and find transportation to any part of Dallas or any part of the country that he wants. Also, it's located just 6 blocks south of the convention center and 7 blocks south of City Hall. And it's only 2 blocks from the Kennedy Memorial. So it's really going to be kind of a new hub of the city.
Alex explains the special concierge floor.
We'll have the ability for a businessman to check into the hotel and have someone get in touch with his secretary, take messages, relay messages to his office, make travel schedules for him, make appointment plans for him while he's in Dallas on his business.
Hyatt Regency Dallas at Reunion. For worldwide reservations, call your travel agent or toll-free 800-228-9000. As Mr. H.L. Mencken said, is the illogical belief in the occurrence of the improbable. Well, now when you consider all the odds against it, faith seems to have held up pretty well over the years. Ah, yes, faith. It just seems that sometimes it appears to be so weak and forlorn.
Believe, Terry. Believe you can do it.
I want to, Father.
I believe you can do it.
Thank you for that confidence.
You of all people.
Why me?
Because I believe that there is an order to things, a fitness.
But why me? What are you getting at?
Nothing, Terry. Just have faith, will you?
Yes, Father.
Believe in your heart that you can track down the killer.
I'll try, Father. I'll try my best. Mrs. Helen Pauley?
Yes?
Do you remember me?
You do look familiar.
I'm Lieutenant Smith.
Oh, the detective.
Now, may I come in?
Well, I think so, yes. Will you sit down?
Thank you.
Well, what can I do for you?
Mrs. Pauley, I hope I'm not making you nervous.
I suppose the truth is you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
But it has to do with that awful murder?
Yes.
But I've already told you and all the other officers everything I know.
I understand. Would you mind telling it again?
For what reason?
Truthfully, we've reached a blind alley. We hope that by going over and over the very little that we have, we may come up with something.
Well, something like what?
I don't know. A fresh insight, a new perspective. Will you tell me again the circumstances that led to your discovery of Ezra Miller's body?
Well, I saw him leaning back on the park bench. I thought at first he was asleep, but then I noticed the blood and I screamed.
Yes.
A crowd gathered, a policeman came running up, and that's all I know.
I look at my notes, Mrs. Pauley, and I see that's exactly the way you told it the first time, word for word.
Well, it's a very simple story, and I remember it so vividly.
Is it the whole story?
What do you mean?
Mrs. Pauley, I like you. You're an attractive woman.
Where is this supposed to lead?
Well, it was necessary for us to find out all about you.
Yes?
You're a widow. You were accustomed to a lot of money. But your husband lived for the present. He died suddenly without leaving you provided for.
So?
Well, so you never worked a day in your life, Mrs. Pauley, but you went out. You found a job. You're raising your little 5-year-old daughter. Your house is neat, clean.
Please, Lieutenant, you sound as if you're building up to a proposal for marriage.
Well, if I were the marrying kind, I could do worse, Mrs. Pauley.
Really? And why aren't you the marrying kind?
Getting back to the reason I'm here.
Oh, yes.
You are an honest, decent young woman, but I think I caught you in a lie.
What lie?
I asked you to tell me the story of how you discovered Miller's body.
And I did, the whole story.
Well, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. He was leaning on his left side, which is where the two bullets entered his chest. Now, in order for you to see the blood, you would have had to approach him very closely. You'd practically have to stand over him, isn't that so?
Well,
he was a stranger, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he appeared to be asleep, right?
Yes.
You were walking along the path. You were in the middle of the path?
I think so.
All right, from the middle of the path, it's 5 feet to the edge of the grass. Another 3 feet to the bench. 8 feet. Why did you walk 8 feet out of your way to get this close to look at him?
Because
you haven't told me the whole story, have you, Helen?
I don't think you have the right to call me Helen.
Why did you walk over to get that closer look?
Because I saw the blood.
Yeah, but we already established the fact that you couldn't see the blood until you did walk over to him. Well? Why, Helen?
It's 3 o'clock.
Yes.
You'll have to excuse me. I have to pick up my daughter at school.
Yes, but you still haven't told me why.
I don't want my child to have to wait for me.
I'll go with you.
No, please don't.
Are you hiding something, Helen?
I'm not hiding anything. And I don't know anything. I wish you'd let me alone. And please, don't call me Helen.
Hi there.
Oh, it's you.
I was wondering if we could talk.
I have nothing to say to you.
Well, that isn't true.
Besides, I'll be late for work.
Oh, you don't have to be. My car is parked down the block.
Please.
I just want to talk to you.
Look, if you don't stop bothering me, I'll call a cop.
I am a cop.
Look, it isn't a joke.
I agree.
What do you want?
You know what I want. I want you to tell me why you went out of your way to discover Miller's body.
Well, I don't know.
You don't know why you should suddenly, for no reason, walk away from the path in the park to get a closer look at a man who appeared to be asleep on a bench?
That's right. I don't know.
A man who's a complete stranger. And there's nothing suspicious about
it. I told you, I don't know.
You expect me to believe that?
Well, whether you believe it or not, there's nothing more I can tell you. I mean, sometimes you do things without knowing why. There's no rhyme or reason. You just find yourself doing something.
Helen.
Look, you have no right to call me Helen. My name is Mrs. Pauley. Don't you dare play the patronizing police officer with me.
I called you Helen because I like you.
Well, you have no right to like me. Oh, I'm sorry. I can imagine what I must sound like. It's just that talking to a detective makes me nervous.
It isn't so terrible, you know. Just tell me what made you stop to look at Mr. Miller's body.
I keep telling you. I don't know.
Helen, are you trying to protect somebody?
What makes you say that?
Is that true?
It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life.
Look, Helen.
If you don't stop annoying me, I'll call a lawyer. I mean that.
Okay, Helen. Mind if I join you?
Well, all right.
Do you come here often?
No, it's my first time.
This is my favorite restaurant.
I know.
You know?
I might just as well tell you the truth. I wanted to see you.
About what?
You know about what. I haven't been able to sleep at night.
I'm sorry.
I guess it's my mother's fault.
Why? What did your mother do?
Oh, she said to me, honey, whenever you're in trouble, you just go up to a policeman. That's why you're there, to help you. I know that sounds silly.
No, I don't think that sounds so silly.
Why? Did your mother say the same thing to you?
I never knew my mother.
Well, anyhow, I guess these things stay with you. And so I knew from the first minute you asked that I'd have to talk to you. But I was scared. I'm still scared. Maybe when it comes down to it, I'll just get up and run out of here without saying anything.
Tell me why you're scared.
I could have gone to police headquarters, but that would have made it an official thing. And this must be, it just has to be off the record. So I called your office, and they said you'd gone to dinner. I said it was a matter of life and death, which it is. And they said, try Vincenzo's. And here I am.
And now that you're here...
Look, you've got to give me a chance to build up my courage.
Well, let's try some dinner. What would you like?
I don't think I can concentrate on food.
But you should. I'll order the special.
Well, what is it?
It doesn't matter. It's always great. Vincenzo, due speciale in the vino. You see? It's taken care of.
Ooh. Life is so efficient and orderly with you, isn't it?
Yeah, I try.
Is that why you're never married?
How do you know I never married?
You told me you're not the marrying kind, remember?
So I did.
I understand why.
Do you?
Actually, married life isn't for people who are orderly and efficient.
Why is that?
Because married life is neither efficient nor orderly.
Really?
Truly. You can't fully control your existence. There's another person whose wishes and needs have to be respected. And with children, things can become chaotic, to say the least.
Well, that's not the reason I never married.
Well, what is the reason? Forgive me. I didn't mean to pry.
I haven't married because I don't know who I am.
Aren't you Detective Terrence Smith of Homicide Squad?
Terrence Smith was the name Father Burke gave me. I was one of those newborn infants you read about who are found in the doorway of a church.
Oh.
I don't know why I told you this.
I think I know why.
Do you?
Mm. It's because you know that I'm sitting here trying to build up the courage to tell you something that's very close to me. So you thought you could make it easier for me if you gave me a secret of yours.
Maybe that's part of it, but I think there's more to it.
More?
Maybe it's too early to talk about. I hope you're not on a diet. They've got fantastic desserts in this place.
Terry, I guess it's now or never. Now, don't let me change the subject.
All right.
The Miller murder?
Yes.
There's a witness.
A witness to the murder?
Yes.
You're telling me someone saw the person who murdered Ezra Miller?
Yes, Terry.
Who is this witness?
My daughter. My little 5-year-old daughter.
Now let us review the bidding. What is this about a witness and a 5-year-old girl? When did she come into the picture? Well, the truth is, she was in it from the very beginning. You know us, we play fair. Think back to the murder itself, to that park bench near the merry-go-round, and to every word the killer said. And while you're thinking, we'll pause briefly, and then I shall return with Act 3.
Maybe you've got a neighbor who just bought a new Electra, and he's gotten so smug and self-satisfied lately, you can't stand it. Well, look at it this way. If you had just gotten a car with all the luxury and prestige of Electra, and a trim European-like design that makes it easier than you might imagine to park and maneuver in city traffic, wouldn't you be a little insufferable for a while? We thought so. The new Electra, at your Buick dealers now.
A little science, a little magic, a little science, a little...
It's hay fever.
Help! I did it!
And the whole world seems like one big pollen farm. Don't give up. Arm yourself with ARM, allergy relief medicine. ARM gives you full antihistamine relief for dripping and sneezing, plus congestion relief for freer breathing, clearer sinuses. Antihistamine relief plus congestion relief equals ARM.
Don't give up. Arm yourself with ARM.
Take when needed, only as directed.
If you need a muffler, now you can Midasize your car in over 800 Midas shops in the United States.
I got Midasized in Topeka, Kansas. It goes to prove you're never too old.
I got Midasized in Brooklyn, New York. Words alone cannot express my satisfaction.
Once we Midasize your car, you'll never have to buy a muffler for it again. Because at Midas, if anything ever goes wrong, we guarantee to replace the muffler free for as long as you own your American-made car. Noisy muffler? Don't compromise. Midasize at Midas.
I got Midasized in Waco, Texas. You never seen a muffler that size before.
The next time you hear that noise, don't compromise. Midasize.
In case you didn't know, the 46 Chicagoland Midas dealers can install mufflers on most foreign cars with the same expertise with which they've been installing mufflers on American cars for the past 20 years. This is WBBM Chicago.
What is the Latin? Testis unus, testis nullus, which means a single witness is no witness. Of course, getting down to it, it all depends on who that witness is. And if the only witness in a murder case turns out to be a 5-year-old girl, well, which lawyer would you rather be? The one who prosecutes or the one who defends?
You're a little girl?
This has to stay between us. You could never put a child her age on the stand. You know that.
Yes.
You couldn't even talk to her. She's too shy. Besides, by this time, she's already forgotten the whole thing.
Just tell me what the child saw.
All right. Well, we were in the park. She was on the swing. She wanted ice cream. I said I'd get it, but you stay here, honey. Don't wander off. Oh, but she did, as usual. And when I came back with the ice cream, She wasn't there. But before I could get panicky, I noticed her. She was on the merry-go-round.
Go ahead.
But when the ride was over, I grabbed her and I said, "Where did you get the money?" She smiled at me and said, "Uncle Louis."
Uncle Louis?
Yeah. I said, "Is Uncle Louis here in the park?" And she said, "Yes." I became frightened. So frightened.
Why?
Because Louis, my oldest brother, he died last year.
Oh.
Now show me where Uncle Louis is. And she took my hand and led me to that park bench. I saw a man sitting there. He seemed to be asleep. And I said to her, "Oh, see, honey, that's not your Uncle Louis." And she insisted in her childlike way that Uncle Louis had been sitting next to that man. And he had given her 50 cents for the carousel. That's when I saw the man had blood on his shirt. And that he was dead.
She saw the killer.
No, you can't use this legally.
Yes, but at least we may know what he looks like. He has to be a professional, so there's probably a sheet on him. Do you remember how she described him?
Of course. He looks very much like Uncle Louis.
And what did Uncle Louis look like?
I brought this picture.
Oh.
See? Uncle Louis was very chubby and very bald. Well, she adored her Uncle Louis, which means the resemblance must have been very close.
Yes.
Well, have I helped you?
Well, now I know who I'm looking for.
Carrie, I'm sorry I couldn't tell you this sooner.
Don't worry. I think you're wonderful.
Sit down, Terrence, sit down.
Thank you, Father. I've come to ask your advice.
You have a look on your face I've never seen before. I say marry the girl, Terrence, lad. Marry her.
What are you talking about?
Only a woman, a certain kind of woman, can put a smile in a man's eyes and a spring in his step.
No, Father.
And I have my spies everywhere, especially Vincenzo's. Dinner almost every night, and she brings her little girl.
Father, I don't know what to do.
Marry her, of course. She's lovely.
You know the problem.
I know what you have chosen to make into a problem.
How do I know who I really am?
Or does it matter who your parents really were?
How do I know what's in my blood?
You know. By this time, you know.
I don't. This isn't what I came here to talk to you about, Father.
Oh? It isn't?
I got a description of the killer.
From whom?
Well, it wouldn't stand up in court, but I know who he is.
Can you tell me?
It's a guy named Baldy Corzell.
I assume he's a professional assassin.
Right. But nobody's ever pinned anything on him, even though we know he's been used for some very important assignments.
What's your next move, Terrence?
I don't know. If we could mobilize the entire resources of the department, we might be able to construct a case. You know, using this as a platform. But I'm afraid.
Of what, my son?
Of telling this to anyone.
Why?
I don't know whom to trust.
I see.
It's a terrible thing, Father. Most of the men on the force, the overwhelming majority, are honest. But once I put this into a report, I don't really know who has access to it. Harry George has strength in the administration. It's even rumored that he owns the mayor.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And what could I put into the report? I'd have to name my source, and that would be unacceptable.
Well, what can you do?
Maybe I can make something happen.
Be careful.
I'm always careful. What I need is to be lucky. You couldn't use a 38.
Just what are you looking for, buddy?
Buddy's a good name for me at that. I could really do you a good turn.
What do you want, copper?
Now, how'd you know I was a cop?
I can smell him.
You're through, Baldy.
Yeah?
Yeah, we know who knocked off Ezra Miller, and we know who paid you.
Yeah?
That kind of thing could seal you in the can. for life.
Is that a fact?
Except we want Harry George.
Who's he?
We want him so badly, you could make a deal.
Well, can't a legit citizen enjoy the fights in peace, huh?
Harry George. He's gonna know we know. And besides, lots of people here know I'm a cop. Some of them even know who you are. Did you and I plan to meet here to arrange a deal? Think about it.
Come on, you bum!
What's the matter, Harry?
You have to find out something for me, Joe.
Well?
What is the true status of the investigation?
What investigation?
Come on, Joe. What progress have the police made?
As far as I know, none.
Level with me, Joe.
But
If I go, you and a lot of other people go with me.
Harry, what is it?
A certain employee of mine was approached by a detective, a Lieutenant Smith. The Smith fellow knows he's the killer and offered him a deal. Now, what do you know about it, Joe?
Nothing. The department has nothing. I'm in touch with the commissioner, the chief of detectives. There's nothing official.
Then how do you account for the fact that this cop knows?
He must be doing it on his own.
Why?
It happens. Sometimes an ambitious cop will sit on a lead till he can make sure he can get all the credit for it.
Then this cop has to be taken care of now.
Wait a minute. You can't kill a cop.
Why is a cop so sacred?
The public won't stand for it.
That's what you said about Miller. Well, the sun still rises in the morning and sets at night, doesn't it? How many people even remember Ezra Miller?
Listen, Harry.
Listen to what? What do you really have to say?
When is this all going to stop?
When? I don't know. Maybe never.
Harry, Father Burke, sit down.
Am I interrupting anything?
I'm just using the city time and typewriter to type a note to a certain lady. Keep my secret?
Oh, I have to. Terry, have you made a report of the thing we talked about?
No, not yet.
I would advise you to do it.
I could ruin the whole thing. Harry George could have this fellow killed, and then it's all gone.
But this way he could have you killed.
Father, you worry too much.
Sometimes I chide myself for not worrying enough. Terry's a dangerous game. The odds are too great against one man. Suppose Harry George finds out you're operating as a lone wolf?
I suppose he does. I can take care of myself, you know.
I would advise you to make the thing official.
Why?
I just feel that way. Think about it.
Baldy, you have to do it tonight.
Okay.
He's visiting some woman over on Adams Terrace.
I can knock him off as he comes out.
No, it has to be an accident. That way no smart reporter can claim he was killed because he might have known too much.
So what do you want me to do?
He leaves her place about 11:30, drives home. On the way, he stops off at an all-night deli at the corner of Jefferson and Main. I'll follow him in. Pretend it's a stick-up. He won't be able to get at his gun. Be the nervous punk type and start shooting. Poor guy, he'll be one of those innocent bystanders. Be ready for him at midnight, which is when he usually gets there, understand?
You're the boss.
One moment, please. Father Burke.
I know it's late, Harry, but I couldn't sleep.
So you decided to call on me. Well, come in. I'm honored.
Thank you.
Now, what does this mean, Father? Are we friends?
We've always been friends. We've gone our separate ways, and each of us thoroughly disapproves of what the other does. But we're friends.
Father, you have something on your mind.
Of course. Do you remember Katie Oliver?
Katie Oliver.
Now, don't pretend, Harry.
I remember Katie.
Red-haired Katie. You loved her, but not quite enough.
And she loved you, but just a little too much.
Why are we talking about Katie Oliver after 30 years?
Because I'm about to break a promise I made to her.
Oh, and you, a priest.
Katie disappeared a long time ago. She may not even be alive. And if she were aware of the circumstances, I am sure that she'd release me from my vow.
What vow and what circumstance?
When Katie had found out that you had chosen a certain way of life, she decided to leave you.
Yes.
What you didn't know was that Katie was going to have a baby.
She what?
No, please, don't interrupt. Listen to all of it. No one knew. She went away somewhere and had the child. She brought him to me right after he was born. I spread the story that he was a foundling. But I promised to keep her secret and see to it that he would grow into a fine young man. And he did. Your son.
My son? I have a son?
Yes.
Where is he? Who is he?
Where is he? He is probably visiting the wonderful woman he plans to marry. Who is he? His name is Terence Smith.
Terence Smith?
Detective Lieutenant Terence Smith.
Lying.
Am I?
Smith. Smith, he's my son?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
Look, on the wall, you have a picture of Katie. You still have a picture of Katie, the only picture in the room. Look at Katie. Look at her red hair. Her eyes, a smile. Here's a picture of Terry Smith. Look at it. It's one face.
He's my son. My son. What time is it?
It's close to midnight. Why?
Almost midnight. No. I have to stop him. Stop him.
Harry, where are you going?
Everybody stand still. It's a stick-up. All move. Ready. Everybody's hands way up. You, there.
No, don't. Don't shoot.
What the...
Everybody, get back. I'm a police officer.
What happened?
You there. Pick up that phone. Dial 911. 911, hurry.
Now, please, let me through.
I'm a priest. Let me through. Father Burke.
Harry, you all right?
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's Harry George and that's Baldy on the floor. They're both dead.
Yes.
I just happened to come in here and Baldy comes in with his gun out to pull a hold up. Baldy, a high-priced hitman. Why would he stick up a delicatessen?
Yes. Why?
Hey, I can figure that out. It could have been a way to knock me off and make it look like it was an accident. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, except that then in comes Harry George. We know what and who he is. He's got a gun and he tries to stop Baldy from killing me. I can't figure it out. Why would Harry George do that?
Why?
Yeah. Why?
Maybe one day you'll learn the answer.
Did Terry ever find out? I don't know. Truly. You see, once the story is over, it's over. And if Father Burke ever decides to tell him, then that becomes another story. And you had yours for this day. I shall return in just a few moments.
At Us Magazine, we still believe in the scoop. I'm Porter Bibb, publisher of Us. We knock ourselves out here to give you stories you don't get anywhere else, like the one on Woody Allen, or that great one on John Travolta. Who else had anything like that? The inside story. What's happening? Who's happening? Nobody tells you these things but us.
Nobody tells you who's hot and who's not, and what it takes to be a star today, like the current issue of Us, now on sale. Nobody tells you these things but us.
Hi, I'm Ben Vereen. In my business, the term stroke means to massage one's ego. However, in medical terminology, the term stroke almost always means trouble. Strokes are caused by a number of things, among them high blood pressure. And high blood pressure affects black Americans proportionately 2-1 to their white counterparts. Won't you have your checkup today? And that's no stroke. The American Heart Association is fighting to save your life. Won't you help?
our story is Uncle Louie. And we never told you anything about Uncle Louie, except a few of the physical details. We know he was short and chubby and bald, and yet he must have been a wonderful man. While he lived, he charmed the heart of a little child. And after he died, he was instrumental in bringing down one of the greatest vice lords in the country. Who would have dreamed he had such powers? Certainly not Uncle Louie himself. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Ann Williams, Ralph Bell, Jackson Beck, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
Isn't that your shadow now, at the foot of our path?
Yes. Ah, there he is. And notice, he's always having his bath chair pushed by the same gray-haired gentleman.
Will you both excuse me for a moment? I think I know the gentleman.
Good evening, Mr. Sampson. I'm glad you arrived before it got dark.
John, I must congratulate you upon your disguise. You make an admirable elderly bundled-up gent.
Thank you. Your manservant does well as a porter.
I knew he would. I came as soon as I got your message.
Sir, Marjorie Niner is in danger of her life.
I quite understand.
We must get her away from him.
I shall do my best.
No, not like dear Marguerite, her sister. We must save her.
I have every intention. Keep us inside, John, and I shall do my best to effect a rescue.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Chuck Shaden, Vice President here at Northwest Federal Savings. Let's find out firsthand why people like Northwest Federal.
I like the different conveniences they have. You can get traveler's checks. Anything you want to do, you can do it if you've got the Northwest card.
I like the fast, courteous service and the fact that I don't have to fill out a lot of paperwork before I can come to the counter.
The hours, more hours than other banks. In fact, I switched to them from another bank because of their convenience, their hours, everything.
No bank does for people what this bank does, really.
And the people here are marvelous for service and cordiality. Just plain swell folks.
Well, if you don't feel that way about your bank, it's time to sing a different tune.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
CBS News. The Senate narrowly approves Panamanian control of the Panama Canal in the year 2000. President Carter is pleased. Panama's leader, General Omar Torrijos, appears relieved. This is Steve Young reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Soon after word of the U.S. Senate's action reached Panama City, General Torrijos was asked what would have happened if the vote had not resulted in ratification.
The armed forces, they had decided that if the treaty was not ratified, or if it had been amended in such a way that it was not left in a condition that it could be acceptable to Panama, then we would not negotiate anymore. Then, tomorrow morning, right away, we would start. We would have started
una lucha de liberación,
a struggle for liberation,
que posiblemente mañana el canal no estaría funcionando.
That possibly by tomorrow the canal would not have been in operation.
President Carter flashed a 1,000-watt smile at the outcome when he learned how the vote went. A group of administration officials who briefed reporters also were satisfied, as Lee Thornton reports.
It is certainly, probably, the toughest fight we've faced, one of them said. And then they told what went into the fight. certain problem senators had been identified and a strong effort made to convert them. The strong effort consisted of negotiations, face-to-face and by telephone, right down to the wire. The officials said it was done with fine trading and words, but they stressed that no major concessions were made. They said they did not really know what turned Senators Hayakawa and Aberesk around. Credit was given to former President Ford, former Secretary of State Kissinger, Senator Howard Baker, and to private citizens and groups that work toward ratification. But mostly, the administration is pleased with what it basically considers an administration victory, the lift that the Carter White House badly needs right now. Lee Thornton, CBS News, the White House.
The president of Colombia said tonight Senate ratification of the treaty was the start of a new relationship between Latin America and the United States. More after that.
CBS News broadcasts keep you in touch with the world. Minute by minute, the CBS News staff of correspondents and editors keeps checking the ever-changing developments to guarantee you the most accurate and latest reports possible in each hourly broadcast. In addition, many of these stations bring you two expanded CBS News reports that cover almost three times as much news as one hourly broadcast. In the morning, it's the CBS World News Roundup with Dallas Townsend Monday through Friday and Neil Strausser on Saturday. In the evening, it's the World Tonight with Douglas Edwards Monday through Friday. In these 15-minute news broadcasts, you hear a full and detailed roundup of news that happened through the night on the CBS World News Roundup and a look at the day just passed on the World Tonight. Add these to our regular CBS News hourly reports, and you have two more good reasons to listen here on most of these CBS radio network stations.
President Carter's $25 billion tax cut proposal is now being scrutinized by the House Ways and Means Committee. And Republican Bill Frenzel of Minnesota doesn't like it because, in Frenzel's words, the president's plan gives a kick in the head to the middle class.
Those people are paying a severe penalty under the Carter bill, and I really don't think the committee is going to let him get away with that. I think we're going to try to see that there is some relief for those taxpayers rather than additional taxes.
The two-day explosion on Wall Street cooled down Tuesday, but it was still a pretty good session. Volume was almost 39 million shares on the New York Exchange, down from Monday's record-setting mark of 63.5 million shares, but still the fourth highest in history. The Dow Jones Industrial Average showed some signs of profit-taking, down 6.85. A research organization says more than 800 million people will join the world workforce by the year 2000. Secretary of State Vance flies to Moscow Wednesday for talks with Kremlin leaders. The main goal is to make progress toward a new strategic arms limitation agreement. And we'll have more CBS News after this message.
I'm Betsy Palmer speaking for CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, Children's Hearing Education and Research. Loss of hearing is silent, painless, and invisible. About 20 million Americans, that's 1 in 10, are affected. It's America's largest but least recognized ailment. Loss of hearing attracts fewer than 1% of the dollars spent on medical research, and more is urgently needed. Deafness makes learning of language especially difficult for infants and restricts communication for those who have the problem. Founded in 1969, CHEAR wants to do more. No one is immune to hearing loss. Many people can't hear what I'm saying now. I'm glad that you can. Won't you help CHEAR? For information or contributions, please write CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704. That's C-H-E-A-R, P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704.
The FBI in Los Angeles has announced that 256 persons have been seized along with some $42 million in stolen property and contraband, everything from waterbeds to immigration cards. Officials are calling it the most successful anti-fencing operation in U.S. history. The recovered property includes a truckload of liquor worth $175,000 and 6,500 so-called green cards, U.S. work permits, issued to aliens by the Department of Immigration and Naturalization, worth $2 million on the street. This is Steve Young, CBS News.
Safety experts have found that the majority of motorcycle accidents involve those who are new riders, those who've had little experience or training in how to properly ride a motorcycle. Because of this, the Illinois Department of Transportation and seven Illinois public universities are co-sponsoring motorcycle rider courses throughout the state. The free courses will be held at numerous locations between now and October. Motorcycles and helmets are provided by participating motorcycle dealers. So all you need to provide is yourself. The course takes just 22 hours, half of that time spent on cycles. Experienced riders who've taken the course say they've even picked up valuable rider tips. If you'd like to learn more about this free training, write Motorcycle Rider Course, Northern Illinois University, DeKalb, Illinois, 60115. Or call NIU, which is coordinating the course for most of Northern Illinois. The phone, area code 815-753-1683. That's 815-753-1683.
News Radio 78.